Hello, everybody. Happy Sunday. Okay. Hey, Shauna. Hi, everyone. Well, I think I'll start us off with a song. This is a good song. One of my favorites, actually, from Van Morrison. And it's an upbeat song, so enjoy. We'll start off with a song first. Hey, George. So I am going to, read a prayer, one of my favorite prayers. Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where no one can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen. Today's been a little bit of a bittersweet day, being the last day, or the last Sunday rather, here as the assistant director. But it was fun, you know. I just felt so much love, and what has been really helpful for me, I think one of the suggestions that Regina gave me a couple weeks ago about, you know, being present is to physically place yourself where your feet are pointed toward whatever it is you want to pay attention to. And that could be a computer screen, or that could be someone that you are speaking with. And what I've noticed over the past few weeks, because I'm moving, I'm preparing to go to Italy, and I just noticed that I want more than anything to stay completely present in the moment. So it's been, like I said, it's, you know, a little bit of a bittersweet. And also, you know, this is my last weekend spending with my daughter, Sarah. So we just hung out all day yesterday. It was so fun. We watched certain things on the internet. She loves to watch. And I just allowed it to just unfold, you know. Whatever she wanted to do, it was the whole idea of just being with her and being present. It wasn't about, oh, I don't want to watch that show, let's watch something else, you know, because we've gotten to little spats about that, because her and I have completely different tastes with things that we like to watch. And then I just realized, you know what, it doesn't matter. You know, those are the little things that can cause separation. So just let it go and just be present. So that has been something very in the forefront in the mind, to just really just be. And that is so beautiful. And it's a natural state. And I don't have to think about what I need to do or what I need to say where I need to be or whatever. It just, if I'm completely present in the moment, I'm doing exactly what I am to be doing. And then to enjoy it, to be present, is the key. So, I didn't do a whole lot of journaling this weekend. Like I said, I hung out with Sarah, just spent quality time with her, and just wanted to do some last minute things for her apartment, and, you know, just doing things. You know how, that's how moms are. They like to do things for their kids. So, you know, I was cleaning and, you know, putting things, you know, preparing her place for the winter. And just putting things up and the things that, you know, she had out for the summer and taking things out that she uses for the holidays and things like that. So it was just really fun to be present with her. But I did do the meditation this morning, Thoughts of Awakening. And then after the meditation, I went downstairs. So this is the quote for today, Thoughts of Awakening number 264. Stillness is like a deep well, because it is life everlasting, eternal. Illusion is at the surface. In the world of changing, non-lasting. When one focuses on illusion, one is split in many directions, unaware of the constancy of one's self, capital S. When one is focused on stillness, one is aware of constancy. Constancy remains peaceful, even through the appearance of change. And what came through is feeling warmth and peace and allowing it all to be as it is. Yes, deep love and gratitude. Being stillness. No words to describe this. It takes away from the direct experience. In this world, the one constant is change. And what remains is the changeless, everlasting peace, love, enjoy. Please help me to remember this truth, not the illusion of change. Feeling the split is very obvious, but do not put your attention there. Love is all there is, being stillness. It's that being, you know. Like in Kabbalah, you know, that word being is like a verb. It's, what is that? And in that stillness, there is such clarity. It is almost undescribable. Or indescribable. It's, you know, I don't even think we need words to describe that stillness. It's a direct experience. And to me, that's the gift. I also loved today's tip, Regina. It was beautiful. I looked at it a few times today. I'd like to read it. And then I was going to go on to NTI for a few minutes. This is for NTI 1, Chapter 4 in John. One key to effective discernment is knowing what to give attention to and what not to give attention to, because it isn't meaningful, because it isn't real, because it is temporary instead of eternal. A second key to effective discernment is letting feeling guide the decision above. Thinking can be extremely deceptive. You can't trust thinking to help you discern the wrong mind from the right mind, but you can trust feeling. Again, you know, it's all about checking in, being present. You know, that's what being present is. You know, if you're just so present and aware of what is going on, and you're not going into the thinking and the head and, you know, oh my God, what if this, what if that, you know, that's the thinking. That's the wrong mind. Just stay with the feeling. And trust that. And this next part is so beautiful. I choose the word content instead of happy or joyous because sometimes humans are serious, such as when they are looking at a problem that needs to be resolved. And sometimes humans are sad, like when a loved one passes away, etc. However, the right mind is content with seriousness when seriousness is appropriate, and content with sadness when sadness is appropriate, etc. Excuse me, I have to drink water. Contentment is an underlying permanent feeling. Sometimes other feelings are appropriately present too. But when one is with the right mind, excuse me, the other feelings do not cover contentment. Excuse me. I'm going to put the mic on mute for a minute. Okay, sorry, you guys. I had like a little coughing spell. And I went and grabbed a mint so I could soften my throat. So what I really liked about this part, this section is you know, it talks the word content. And I really know that. I can relate to that. That direct experience of contentment. When I first moved here, I had that feeling of contentment. Like, you know, it just felt so good to excuse me, have, you know, all my belongings that I owned in one place, because I didn't have that for a long time. Most, a lot of my stuff was in storage for years, and it wasn't about the things. It was just this feeling that I had. It was just like, good, I can settle here. I can, you know, go through it all. And then when I put it all out, I put everything out. It was really fun, actually. I had a lot of fun with it. And then I was looking around, and I looked at it, and I said, you know, this, none of this means anything. Not that I wasn't content. Not that I wanted to replace my belongings. This feeling of contentment was, you know, I have everything I need. And it had nothing to do with the physical belongings. Such a beautiful feeling to know that I have reached this place of contentment within. And it had nothing to do with anything outside of me. Whether it be a new apartment or a car or a new job, it has nothing to do with that. And I'm very grateful for that. Very grateful. So it continues on to say, before I had a little coughing spell, contentment is an underlying permanent feeling. Sometimes other feelings are appropriately present too, but when one is with the right mind, the other feelings do not cover contentment. They are present with contentment. If contentment is lost, in other words, covered up, attention is with the wrong mind. A third key to effective discernment is self-honesty. You can lie to yourself about whether you were content or not while you were swearing at the driver in the car next to you, but lying to yourself will not help you reach the freedom that is called enlightenment. Self-honesty is a very important key. Today's reading says, when any thought does not feel like love, you may put it aside as false. So for me, the key is, here's the key for me. When any thought does not feel like love, and also checking in, how am I feeling? I can put that aside as false. So it's the, again, it's the attention, it's the presence, it's being in that present moment, being very alive, very aware, and very in the now, is when you will, that's your discernment. You will know. And that's also, you can trust that. You know, that's what this practice is. That's what we have this practice. We practice all kinds of different, we have so many tools. You know, we have the loving all method. We have awareness watching awareness. We have root cause inquiry. We have the rest, accept, and trust. I mean, we have the ability to tap into these tools that allow us to do exactly what this is saying. And to me, that's just, you know, it's really hard to describe sometimes how I feel. I'm feeling extremely grateful. And I feel, I know, I found my family. I found my home. found my home here. And then it goes on to say, the reading also says, existence cannot be denied because it is. Sometimes when believing attention goes deeply into false ideas, we can have deep feelings that are not anything like content, open, free. Sometimes content, open, free feelings can be so far from our current experience that we can't recall the feelings those words point to. However, there is one intuitive knowing feeling that is never covered up. It is always present, and we can always turn our attention to it. That is existence. I mean, to me, that's exactly what I was describing. I was describing my direct experience of being in the present moment, being here right now. Excuse me. Being content with that. And to me, that's just so beautiful. So this is the last paragraph in the tip. In any moment, no matter how angry you are, no matter how guilty you feel, regardless of how ashamed you feel, and etc., in any moment, you can notice that you exist. In fact, you couldn't be angry or feel guilty, etc., unless existence was there to feel it. So, in any moment, you can turn your attention from whatever has captured attention and focus on existence instead. Simply notice that right now you exist and keep attention there. And that's the end of that. It's so beautiful. Because that's really all there really is now. I truly do not know, you know, anything. I don't know anything. All I know is that right here, right now is all there is. It's, and I'm completely okay with that. I'm content with that. I don't have to know anything. I'm placing my attention on the here, the now, and sitting here in front of the computer and placing 100% of my attention right here, right now, is all there is. And it feels so good in the heart. There's a lot of peace. My heart feels full. My mind is calm. There are no thoughts. I'm just here. I'd like to read a little bit of NTI in 1 John. And chapter 1 states, God is an awareness that is pure, because it looks on only that which is wholly true. This is God, and God as an awareness exists within you. God is our own soul, the heart of our truth, the spirit that endures forever without end. God is all that is true, and that which is true overlooks the false, because the false has no meaning in the light of truth. And that's exactly what Regina's tip was pointing to. To know thyself, return the mind to God. This is done in a moment of peace when God is your only desire. So when I do have an upset or a doubt or a question, I have to remember this. What is my only desire? And then be honest. You know, maybe at that moment, that is not my only desire, and that is my forgetfulness. And then just turn your attention to what your true desire is. It's as simple as that. And then it goes on to say in John chapter 2, "My dear child, look within and see that you have not sinned." Look within and see that you have taken the sins of the world upon your breast and held them there. And then realize what Jesus did. He released the sins of the world as illusion, accepted the face of Christ, and returned himself to the awareness of God. We know that we have come to know Christ as we practice the teachings of Christ. And the teachings of Christ are these. I am Christ. I am all that is perfect. And all that is perfect is in me. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. All that I am not is illusion. And all I am, all that I am. I'm going to repeat the last two lines. All that I am not is illusion. And I am all that I am. And if I had a Bible, I would read verses 7 and 8 in John chapter 2, but I don't. And it goes on to say, "It is true that this is not a new command, for this is what has always been true. The darkness is passing, and the true light has always been shining." And that has become my awareness today. I feel I am the light. I really feel that. And ask yourself honestly how you feel about your brother. If there is one brother whom you do not love truly, You are lost within darkness. Rest yourself and let the darkness pass. For beyond the darkness of illusion, there lives only the light of truth. Do not reach for the darkness, and it will pass. When the light streams through and reaches for you, embrace it. And we all know what that is like. We all have those experiences where we are just so present in the moment and feel so content and so filled with love. And we don't even have to be doing anything in particular. We're just being. We have nothing to prove. We have nowhere to go. It's like when Karen Worth, you know, when she prepares us for our Thoughts of Awakening meditation, she says in the very beginning, you know, just relax and go within. There's nothing to fix, and there's nowhere to go. Just be. To touch on a little bit of chapter 3, and then share a little bit of today's tip with chapter 4. The awareness of God is an awareness that is pure and looks on only that which is wholly true. This awareness is within you. It is the core of what you are. It is in operation as God now. However, you are not aware of your God awareness because you have allowed that which is false to be held in your mind as true. This is what is meant by purify yourself. You must make the decision to release all that is not true from the mind, because that which is not true is false, and so it is an obstacle to the total awareness of truth. And for me, that is a direct experience of trusting and allowing and being open to what truth is. I had a situation that started a couple weeks ago with this moving company, and you know, as it was unfolding, you know, I got upset. I felt betrayed. I felt like a victim. You know, as I did more research and looked into the company and talked to people in the industry, and just, you know, it just became this incredible experience of, wow, this is really interesting. I'm being scammed, and it's a lot of money. And I'll tell you, it really gave me an opportunity to put down all these false thoughts and ideas. And it wasn't so much about the money. I think it was more about I felt like a fool. I felt, you know, I should know better kind of thing. I assumed, and so therefore I made an ass out of me. And, you know, there was just all these thoughts going on about what this says about me. And then as I realized, wait a minute, you know, it is what it is, and there's nothing more than what I did that I could do, and I need to move on. And I got to a place on, by Friday, this past Friday, I got to a place where I just, you know, I was looking for different quotes, and I had someone come to the house, and then the next day I waited for the quote, and it was double what I would originally quoted, and I knew financially this just wasn't going to work. And I just immediately went into prayer. I just said, okay, I need help. I don't know what to do. I don't know who to call. What should I do? Because I really got to this place of, you know, I'm getting concerned about the decisions I'm making. So that's where my doubt came in. Yeah. I even shared some of this with Regina, and I told her I had some doubt about, you know, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I supposed to be moving? And she pointed it out to me very clearly, and she was very right. She said, that's insane. And that is true. And that's where the wrong mind will take us. You know, build up a humongous story more than it probably could have been, or in my own mind, of course. But I also watched how I wanted to tell this story, and I thought, no, I don't need to do that. What I need to do is to really just be quiet and be still so that I get the guidance that I need. And what came to me is, you know, call this company, do this, and I was very calm, and it just happened, boom, boom, boom. And within an hour, after sitting in silence for a little while and just being still and being willing to do that, because trust me, my mind was racing. It was racing. And, you know, I could feel we all know this expression. I could feel my blood boiling a little bit because it was just, I felt like, ugh, you know, I didn't even go to, I can't believe this is happening. I didn't even go there because I just said, no, it's, you know, something has to be done. And the first thing to do is to remain calm, to get the message of what to do next. Because if I were to stay in this place of what I could call chaos, or, you know, staying in the head and thinking about it, overthinking it, it wasn't going to be a very pleasant experience. And the other thoughts that did come to me when I was in my right mind is, this too shall pass, and it's going to be okay. And that is the one thing that the wrong mind will never say. It will never convince you or never encourage you to remain calm and, you know. Almost like the other thought that I had in my head was, you know, I want to do the right thing, and the only way to do that is to remain calm. So that I have the clarity that is needed to whatever I needed to do, whatever steps I needed to take. And I had no clue what that was going to look like. So that is the place of being open, being willing, and also asking for help. You know, because if I'm trying to do this on my own, and I know what that feels like, and I've done that plenty of times where I've tried to do it all on my own, and typically it would end up, you know, with snags. So I also am grateful for that experience. So let's go to chapter 4. Let me read a paragraph, which is one of my favorites in chapter 3, in John chapter 3. This is really good. I'm on page 447. The thinking mind is confusion, because it is based on the belief in separation. Now, what really sticks out for me here in that one sentence is that, again, the thinking mind, it will not even have the wisdom or the clarity to help you understand that you're in confusion and, as it says, you know, the separation. Again, it's the separation thought. So, you know, when I got upset about this moving company, obviously there was this separation thought. You know, there was this fear. There was angst. There was, you know, I was angry. I was, how dare them, you know, take my money. So again, the thinking mind is confusion because it is based on the belief in separation. It defines love as something one does to or for another. But whenever a thought of one and another is involved, the thought and knowledge of love is lost. For love is based on oneness. And anything that is not based on oneness is confusion that has forgotten the unbreakable law of love. In the very end of that chapter, one must surrender the thinking mind to know love, because one must surrender the thinking mind to know that which isn't separation. That which isn't separation is oneness and truth, and that which is oneness and truth is that which is also love. And it does go beyond the words. It's not even about the words. It's that direct experience that we all recognize, that we all know. I have a few notes in chapter 4. If it's ego, let it go. If it's spirit, follow it. And this is about discernment. Everything that you experience with a dream of the world comes from one of two sources: the thinking mind, which is the mask of separation, or the Holy Spirit, which is the true desire of the heart. Every thought, every feeling, every belief that you seem to live by, and every image that you seem to see or hear speaks the thoughts of one source or the other. Your role is to discern the source of the thought. So again, and I'm going to highlight that sentence right there. Your role is to discern the source of the thought, the feeling, the belief, or image, and then decide if you will accept what it teaches based upon the source. And so I even put a note for myself to practice this. So to ask myself, you know, is this wrong? Is this the wrong mind or right mind? Is this a wrong mind or right mind thought? Because that is my role, to discern the source of the thought or the feeling or the belief. And then if we want to take that one step further, when we discern that, we check into how we feel, and then we look at it much deeper with, you know, root cause inquiry. You know, so what I did very quickly when I was having those thoughts regarding the moving company, and I was having thoughts like, you know, God, you know, I'm really stupid. I mean, I should have known better, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, no, you know what? This is an experience. This is what is happening, but that doesn't define who I am. And who am I? I am perfect. I am whole. I am light. And then what I always hear from Jacqueline, and particularly Jacqueline, but I've heard it from other people, is, you know, about this tiny man idea, you know, that it should be different than it is. And that's where the discomfort and the anger comes from, is when we can't accept at that moment, you know, this shouldn't be happening. You know, I shouldn't be being ripped off by a company. I shouldn't have a company scamming me. Well, guess what? It happened. And I'm alive, and I'm fine, and I'll get over it. And I moved on. So we have so many ways to be reminded of who we are. You must only feel within the presence of your awareness the message that you are considering now, and the feeling you know within will tell you which source you are considering now. The feelings of peace, acceptance, trust, and joy witness to the true desire of the heart. For recognition of this desire brings forth the feelings of recognition. That's so beautiful. And we all know when we recognize truth, we know It is without a doubt. It is something so deep within us. It is definitely an experience within. If a thought, belief, or image is not aligned with true desire, the feelings within will not be the feelings of recognition. They will be fearful feelings, such as guilt, hatred, and the feelings of death. When these feelings are upon you, you are looking at a source that is not true. You may rejoice in the recognition that because it is not true, you may simply lay it aside. And I just realized I'm almost time up, and I really wanted to play this last song. I love you guys. I hope it's okay to play this. If you have to cut me off, if you have to cut the mic off, that's fine. It's called Open by Mike Scott. See, it's 9 o'clock, and I want to respect that. It is now time for me to let go of the mic. Again, I love you all, and I'll see you, whoever I see in Italy, and then I will see you all here in the sanctuary November 4th. Love you guys. Good night.